This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Former vice presidential candidate John Edwards is the latest to enter the 2008 presidential race.
If we actually want to change this country and we want to move America the way it needs to move, we're going to have to do it, all of us together. Instead of staying home and complaining, we're asking people to help, not starting later, but starting right now.
Democrat John Edwards launched his campaign today in New Orleans. NPR's Adam Hochberg was there, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Set the scene for us, Adam. John Edwards, the former senator from North Carolina, kicking off his campaign in New Orleans.
Yes, in the Ninth Ward of New Orleans, one of the areas hardest hit by Hurricane Katrina. And the former senator stood next to a house here that still looks pretty much the way it did after the storm, a house that's still in ruins. And that helped him illustrate what he says will be two big themes of his campaign. First, the theme of poverty. He says that America has not done enough for low-income people, both here along the Gulf Coast and elsewhere. But also, he appeared with some volunteers, and that ties back to that little excerpt we just heard. The ex-senator is making a big issue out of volunteerism and community service. He's saying that Americans should pick up the mantle, not wait for Washington to solve their problems, but work in their own communities, try to identify problems and solve them themselves. And he said that's going to be a theme of his campaign, that while he's running for president, he'll both be campaigning, but also trying to mobilize volunteers in cities around the country to work on various community service projects.
John Edwards also spoke out on the war in Iraq today. We've got a little clip here.
It is a mistake for America to escalate its role in Iraq. It is a mistake to surge troops into Iraq. It sends exactly the wrong signal to the Iraqis and the rest of the world about what our intentions are there.
Of course, Adam, he voted in the Senate to support the invasion of Iraq.
Right, and it's going to be a touchy issue for him in this campaign. He did vote to support the resolution. Then, after the 2004 election, he wrote a piece in the Washington Post saying that that vote was a mistake and that he regrets it. And that's one of the first questions that he has always asked at his appearances, and it's a position that he's trying to nuance, saying he didn't realize how badly the Bush administration would execute the war, and that's an issue that he's been asked about quite a bit and will continue to be.
Just very briefly, why choose this moment, this day, to announce his candidacy?
Well, he wants to get out early and get out ahead. This is a traditionally slow news week, so he's getting a lot of news attention here. It also puts him ahead of any other possible candidates, like perhaps Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, who have not yet said that they're running.
Adam, thanks very much.
Thank you.
NPR's Adam Hochberg in New Orleans, where Democrat John Edwards announced his candidacy for president this morning. In Florida, federal, state, and local officials are rehearsing for a nightmare scenario that could take place when Fidel Castro dies. There are estimates that as many as 500,000 Cubans could take to the sea and try to make it to the United States. Today is the third part of our series on Miami's Cuban community. NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro examines whether the exile community in South Florida is thinking of heading the other way, back to Cuba.
My name is Maria Vasquez, and I'm the owner of Sentir Cubano, which is a Cuban store in Miami. And this store is about nostalgia. It's about the old Cuba, the Cuba before Castro, the Cuba of our parents. They come here to get a glimpse of that Cuba.
Among the items for sale, like Cuban shirts called guayaberas, music, and framed pictures, are also novelty items, toilet paper with pictures of Fidel's face on it, bottles of cider that have a label saying, open only when Castro's dead. Vasquez says they're brisk sellers, especially among the older exiles here.
They've been waiting 46 years, 47 years for this to happen. So this is a way to, to celebrate.
Far from looking to the past, Vasquez, who was born in Cuba but left as a child in 1960, is looking towards the future and her plans to return to Cuba to live.
Half of us is rum and half of us is coke. But the half of the rum is calling us now, and we have a duty as Cubans to go back and reconstruct.
If you talk to Cubans on the island, they'll tell you that one of their biggest worries is the return of the exiles because of the property issue. Castro has built very little in the past 47 years. Many Cubans live in homes and buildings that belong to someone who left. But Vasquez echoes an opinion that many Cuban Americans have repeated over and over to me.
We want a system in Cuba that respects private property and free enterprise. But we cannot go there thinking that we're going to get back where our parents had.
am Jaime Suchlicki, director of the Institute for Cuban and Cuban-American Studies. We've done some surveys and so on. Less than 10-15% of the Cuban-Americans will leave Miami or the United States to go to Cuba. There is a significant number that would like to do business in Cuba, but those people will go there to Cuba from Monday to Thursday and return to Miami and spend the weekend here. And there is a younger generation that has been assimilated, absorbed, and they will go to Cuba to visit.
Shishliki also heads the Cuba Transition Project at the University of Miami, whose self-described purpose is to, quote, study and make recommendations for the reconstruction of Cuba once the post-Castro transition begins in earnest. It's supported by a grant from USAID. The Cuba Transition Project has produced papers on how Cuban property will be redistributed. Shishliki says for residential property, there should be some sort of compensation. Commercial property should be returned if possible.
And if there is a will in Cuba, there are methods on how this thing was done in Estonia, in Lithuania, in Eastern Europe, in Germany, and it's not that difficult.
But already in this issue, the lawyers have become involved.
I am Nicholas Gutierrez. I am the president of the National Association of Sugar Mill Owners of Cuba. My own family and a few hundred other clients of mine lost significant properties in Cuba, had them confiscated forcibly without any compensation by the revolution, and wish to position themselves to be able to recover them as soon as that becomes possible.
Gutierrez is focusing mainly on commercial property that's in the hands of the government. He says that it's an issue that has to be resolved before Cuba can move forward.
It's really the only way that a new Cuban government can send a message to the world investor community that it is serious about respecting private property.
Gutierrez's vision is of a financial bonanza for Cuban Americans once free market reforms are instituted.
American companies are going to need, you know, an entree into the island, so are European companies. And I think, you know, the concepts that we've learned in this country about democracy and democratic institutions will be very helpful in the rebuilding of a new and better Cuba.
I've been to Cuba several times, and when you talk to Cubans there, I mean, one of their biggest concerns is exactly what you're describing, this idea of the Miami Cubans coming back and turning back the clock 50 years.
The majority of confiscated owners are not in Miami, they're in Cuba. The you know, the campesinos that owned their caballerías with their bohío. So when we talk about restitution of property, we're not talking about favoring a few wealthy exiles.
Cubans living under Castro, of course, have not been able to decide their destiny for the past 50 years. They had the communist system thrust on them. Cubans in Miami stress they don't want to also force their ideas on the island. Still, to understand the Cuban exile, they say in Miami, you have to understand the longing that so many people have for their homeland. This isn't a mercenary issue, they say. This is the late Cuban exile singer Celia Cruz singing the song Cuando Salí de Cuba, When I Left Cuba. When I left Cuba, she sings, I left my life and my love. When I left Cuba, I buried my heart. It still beats because the land gives it life, she sings, and a day will come when my hand will reach you. Passion, pain, loss, a country divided for half a century. It may just mean that peacefully resolving who owns the land they all love so much might not be so easy. Lourdes Garcia Navarro, NPR News, Miami.
Tomorrow, our series on Miami's Cubans concludes with a look at the changing politics of the exile.